Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
And good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Atlanta Legal Experts radio show. I am Emily Rowell, your host, and with Peachtree Offices here to serve you. Today, we have a whole full room of guests here. We also have Rich Casanova with Buckhead Business Radio X. Good morning.
Here reporting for duty. Well, you have a great lineup in the studio here this morning. Excited for AL Radio.
Me too. So I won't mess around anymore, and I'll go ahead and introduce our guest today, Tiffany Roberts, attorney at law, and she's here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
And what will you be talking about today, Tiffany?
I will be talking a little bit about civil rights practice and criminal defense.
Awesome. And Tom Holder with Long and Holder. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you will be speaking about?
Workers' compensation law.
Wonderful. Thank you for being here. And Aaron Stone with Bovis, Kyle, Birch, and Medlin. I hope I said that right.
You did. Good
Wonderful.
Morning.
Good morning. And you'll be speaking a little bit about?
Well, I'm a divorce lawyer, so I'm going to talk a little bit about what I do and how I help people through the divorce process.
Fantastic. Thank you. And Matthew Posiak.
Yes. Good morning. I'm going to be speaking about what an attorney does working for an insurance company, in my case, Hiscox Insurance, and how we work with defense counsel and what defense counsel might want to do to work with us.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. And we have a list of sponsors today. Peachtree Offices, of course, and 3A Law Practice Management, Atlanta's John Marshall Law School, Equitable Payments, Golden Pear Funding, and U.S. Legal Support. You will be able to see their logos on our website at atlantalegalexperts.com. And I will start with Tiffany Roberts this morning. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are
Good.
You?
Good. I love the yellow sunshine. Thank you. And Ms. Tiffany Roberts is an Atlanta criminal defense and civil rights attorney specializing in police misconduct and restorative justice. She is a graduate of the Georgia State University College of Law and Emory University. So obviously you do criminal. Tell me first how you kind of got to where you are today.
Well, I was a public defender in Fulton County for a couple of years. And after about 2.5 years, I went into practice for myself. And during my time there, the public defender, I represented hundreds of clients facing criminal cases in Fulton County's what we call their rocket docket. So the nonviolent drug offenses and property related crimes.
Awesome. So you knew what you were doing.
Right. I became well acquainted with the system.
So you went into practice for yourself. What was that like?
It was a little scary, but sure. It was exciting. I focused on practicing in Fulton County first because that was the jurisdiction I had the most familiarity with. Mm-hmm. And it's worked out well. I've had a lot of flexibility and I've been able to take on cases that I'm passionate about.
Fantastic. So what kind of cases do you handle exactly?
In my criminal practice, I handle mostly drug offenses and youthful offenders, so young people who aren't juveniles but are juveniles to their parents. Gotcha. You know, 17 and 18-year-olds who maybe have been charged with drug possession or some other non-serious offense. Mm-hmm. And then also more serious drug offenses and some crimes that you hear of, things like disorderly conduct, affray, sort of minor municipal ordinances, but mm-hmm. that often balloon into larger ordeals for the clients.
Gotcha. So do your criminal cases ever become civil cases?
They do. Most of the time, those cases are my municipal cases, where perhaps someone has been falsely charged with disorderly conduct, drinking in public, something like that. And if we're able to get the case dismissed or have the person acquitted, then we can move forward with the civil action against the state actor who falsely arrested them.
Gotcha. So then it becomes a civil.
Right. It becomes a civil matter at that point.
Awesome. So what are the resources out there for people who feel they have been wronged by the police? And we kind of had this discussion last week a little bit, so I'd love to hear more.
Well, one resource I like to tell my clients about, or even people who call me who maybe can't afford a private attorney, is one of the first resources that you'll have is your public defender. And when I say that, I mean when you're arrested and you have an opportunity to consult with a lawyer, you should do that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times public defenders get a bad rap, but it's not because they're not willing to do the work. Often they don't have the resources. Okay. But it's important to ask questions, ask for your police reports, your mm-hmm. complaints, and things like that, so that later down the line you have that information to use. There are also organizations like the Georgia Justice Project, the ACLU, and other and the Southern Public the Southern Public Defender Training Center, and the Southern Center for Human Rights, who serve as resources for people who feel like they've been wronged by state actors.
Wonderful.
Talk to us about, like, in criminal cases, there's sometimes alternative sentencing. I mean, when does that come into play? Or
right. I spoke a little bit earlier about youthful offenders or even first offenders, people who've never been convicted of crimes. And often dispositions are available to those folks aside from taking a plea or going to trial, meaning you may be arrested and be eligible to have your case dismissed because you do community service, or you write a letter to the judge. It's important for your lawyer to know what resources your particular jurisdiction will allow you to take advantage of.
I mean, it seems like these days you can't tune in to any platform and not hear about issues with the police and criminals. I don't know if that's just been a case since day one, right, but I don't know why it's come so much to the forefront. Has it been media attention, or is there, how do you determine there's a good case involving the police?
The most important thing is to consult a lawyer, but things that people should think about are, one, where you arrested and you did nothing.
Right. Started there, that's a good place to start, yeah.
That's kind of a clear-cut case. But also, think about things like where you asked a lot of questions, but you weren't read your rights. If you have a juvenile, are you a parent of a juvenile who was questioned for an extended period of time and you were never notified that your child was being questioned? The most important thing I think that people should remember is that it's okay to ask the police questions. It's not advisable to be offensive, but it's okay to ask questions like, am I free to leave? Am I being detained? Why am I being arrested? And that sort of thing. And if you don't get clear answers, you may have a larger issue that you need to pursue.
How do you determine, if you don't mind me asking, if you've got a good case against a police officer?
Most of the time, I don't have a good case.
Because people do bad things, right? Yeah.
Well, often, especially in the civil arena, because the Supreme Court hasn't been that kind to plaintiffs in these sorts of cases. But I just look at the client's circumstances, the circumstances of the arrest and the current case law to determine whether this is someone who maybe has a civil remedy available to them, or maybe there's someone who needs to take advantage of restorative justice or record restriction, other things that would help them move on with their life, but not they won't get the benefit of some type of civil payout.
Now, was there ever a time that you were able to help somebody that was wronged?
Yes, I've been
generally tell us the story?
Oh, sure. I can tell you about one of my media cases because that's safe. There was a woman named Shakita Walker who was arrested in 2011. Mm-hmm. She was asked by a police officer to move along. She was disabled and sitting in front of her home eating ice cream. She asked the police officer why she needed to leave. He just told her to move. She got up and started to move her chair and told him that she would be contacting his supervisor. He grabbed her and threw her to the ground, tore a rotator cuff. Members of the community caught this on tape. And another attorney, Dan Grossman, and I represented her, and we were able to secure a settlement for her because during the time that she was injured, she couldn't assist her mother, who was bedridden. Okay. And she helped care for. And she was falsely arrested for disorderly conduct. And the police officer actually alleged that she tried to incite a riot. And when the investigation was done, what came out was that she wasn't trying to incite a riot. It's just that the community members were very upset that this disabled woman had been abused. Yeah.
And she was just minding her own business.
Yeah, she was just minding her own business.
Wow.
It's really tough on both sides because we're just all people. But I can't imagine being a police officer and the stress and everything they're under, but, I think there's people, wrongdoers on both sides,
sure,
right?
Because,
how do our listeners, what's the best way for folks to get in touch with you and find out about you?
You can visit my website. It's TiffanyWRoberts.com or call me at 404-287-2090.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show. Stick around. We got who's our next guest in the studio here?
We have Mr. Tom Holder this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Thank you so much for being here this morning. And you're going to talk a little bit about workers' comp, correct?
That's correct.
Wonderful. Tom Holder graduated from Case Western Reserve University. He also spent his junior year abroad at Lancaster University in England. He received his JD from Emory. He has practiced with the firm of Long & Holder, LLP, for the last 28 years, with a practice exclusively devoted to the representation of injured workers in workers' compensation cases. He is AB rated, has been designated as a Georgia Super Lawyer every year since 2004, and was in the top 100 for 2012, 13, and 15. He is a fellow of the College of Workers' Compensation Lawyers. He is a member of the Board of Directors of WILG and National Claimants Attorneys Organization. And he also will have all of his contact information and full bio on the website at AtlantaLegalExperts.com. So tell me, what is workers' compensation?
Well, workers' compensation is a system that's been in place for about 100 years that provides benefits to people who have been injured on their jobs. And what's important about workers' compensation compared to regular personal injury law is that you don't have to prove that anybody did anything wrong. Once you're injured on the job, you become eligible for the benefits. Gotcha. But the benefits are scheduled, so you don't have, for example, you don't have pain and suffering in workers' compensation. Mm-hmm. There's a schedule of benefits that you're entitled to in terms of lost wages and medical benefits, and you can get them almost, you can get the medical immediately and the lost wage benefits you become eligible for once you've been out of work for 7 days.
Wow. So if I got hurt in my, during doing my job on the radio, do I sue Rich or no? I'm just kidding.
Well, the answer is, Tom, the answer is no, yeah.
Well, the answer is you wouldn't sue Rich unless Rich is Business Radio X, you know, but,
gotcha. Okay, good,
it,
yeah.
But it would be against your company and people, that's one reason why, you know, when people come to us, they always say, I'm not the kind of person to really sue my company, but I always point out to them that all my other clients are saying that about them. So everybody isn't the kind of person who ever sues that company until it happens to them and they need to go forwards and get protected.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So when do you call the attorney?
I think in a lot of cases, it would make sense to call an attorney almost immediately to find out what your rights are. Mm-hmm. If you go to our website, www.longandholder.com, we have a lot of basic information for people who've been injured on the job. Because one of the problems that people run into is everybody that you're talking to works for your company. You know, your HR person is your company,
sure,
the insurance company. So all of the people are on the other side of the case. Mm-hmm. So there are plenty of people who, you know, tell everybody what they're supposed to do and provide them with all the information and benefits to which they're entitled. But there are plenty of situations where the company doesn't provide all the information that's necessary.
Sure. Now, if it's a lot of these injuries, like if they happen immediately, like there's just a one-time occurrence, or are there some injuries that are ongoing, like somebody who's, I don't know, hunched over at a computer for a long time and they start to get neck pain because they're not sitting correctly, stuff like that. So, you know, can you describe different types of injuries? And
sure. Well, the most, obviously the most, the easiest to understand is a traumatic injury. Somebody sure. is, for example, you're going to an interview for your radio show and you have a car accident while you're on the job. You know, that would be a workers' comp case. You had a one-time traumatic event. But even just yesterday, I was at a deposition with a client of mine who worked for a very large company where her job was, she was a chat person. She was an online chat person. And because of doing it so often, she developed carpal tunnel in her wrists from being on, from doing so much typing for so many hours per day. So in Georgia, you can get benefits for repetitive injuries. There are other states actually where repetitive trauma is not considered under workers' compensation, mm-hmm. but in Georgia it is.
So when do you hire the attorney? Is there a certain point where you're saying, okay, now I need to get the attorney? So
I think that a very good rule is that if you get to a point with your injury that you cannot return back to work and you don't think you're going to be able to return back to your job, that's a good time to hire an attorney. Another good time to hire an attorney is if things are not going the way you think they're supposed to. For example, if you're not being sent to a doctor, which certainly is common, you know, you're not being sent for a doctor where you have an injury, or you're not getting weekly benefits when you've been out of work for a period of time. I think those are
so
times
kind
when
of
lawyers
just ignoring the situation.
Yes.
Gotcha.
A lot of times we see these investigative reporters where people are, you know, getting claims, but they're not actually, you know, injured to the extent. When does that come into play, or how often do you see fraud with your clients or other people?
Well, that's a very good question. Fraud is actually a lot less prevalent in workers' comp than people like to think. You know, if I have a TV show where I show 10 different right. people doing that, well, what if those are the only 10 people in the state of Georgia that are acting that way? I think fraud, the State Board of Workers' Compensation has a fraud unit that works very hard to root out fraud within the workers' compensation system. I'd say it's probably in the nature of 2 to 3%. But one thing that they don't talk about much is there's also employer fraud, where companies that are supposed to be providing workers' compensation benefits don't have it. So if somebody gets injured on their job, they have no access to health care or to lost wage benefits.
Wow.
I mean, what are some examples of injuries that you see on the short list of folks on workers' comp?
Well, one thing that we actually have a lot of expertise is death cases.
All right.
Wow. Just a couple of examples. I represented a widow and two children where their father went out to drive a truck, and he's on his route, and he flipped his truck off of a mountain road, and they found the truck at the bottom of a ditch. And at first, they couldn't even figure out where the truck had landed, and he unfortunately died. So we represented the widow and the two children as dependents to get the benefits to which they're entitled. You know, obviously, there's a lot of, you know, back injuries, but it's not just, you know, a person lifting a box and saying, oh, right. I hurt my back. It's somebody having a really significant situation where they need to have surgery and those types of things. We also do a lot of work with people who have brain injuries. I represented a man whose case lasted for 13 years. He was on a forklift, and the forklift flipped, and he hit his head on the ground, and he ended up sustaining a closed head injury and had to live in facilities for many years until his family was able to take care of him. So one thing that we always try to convey is that workers' compensation injuries are much more significant than people like to think. You know, everybody just, as I said before, think, you know, guys saying, oh, I hurt my back when, you know, he'd been working over the weekend painting his house. And really, things are much more significant. Because one thing for us is, if we think that one of our clients are presenting a fraudulent claim, we want to get rid of that case also, because that provides a negative, you know, impacts negatively on the rest of our clients and on us also as lawyers.
Sure.
I guess it's got to be tough sometimes to determine who's at fault. I mean, if it's just something that accidents happen, right? I mean, is that a fine line, or is that your job to determine if the employer is at fault, right? If they could have done a better job, in essence, or?
Well, except that one of the differences between workers' compensation law and regular personal injury law is that there is no negligence standard. As long as you've been injured on the job, you become eligible for workers' compensation benefits.
Yeah.
And in the vast majority of cases, I think it might be about 85%, there is no negligence.
Huh.
Right? If somebody's lifting something, or, you know, if you were walking and, you know, the chair fell or something,
right.
You know, there might not really be anybody at fault, but you're still eligible for benefits.
That's what we're paying for, I guess, yeah.
That's right. And also, that's one reason why workers' comp settlements are smaller, because you don't have to prove that anybody's at fault. And also, pain and suffering is not an element of damages in workers' compensation.
Two quick questions. Where are you guys located? Like, how do you get new clients, I guess? How do people find you?
Well, the primary way that we get new clients is that other lawyers refer us cases. What we try to do is we have a lot of expertise in workers' compensation. We're involved in a lot of the various, you know, legal community things, you know, in terms of being in the state bar and on the national scene. So we try to get lawyers to make us their workers' compensation go-to people. So we get most of our referrals from other lawyers. Also, we have our website, which is longandholder.com. That's longandholder.com. And people come through that. And also, people can call us at 404-523-6100.
You guys are obviously here in Atlanta. Where are you guys located?
Well, our main office is downtown in the Candler Building.
Okay.
Actually, from a business standpoint, the Candler Building is going to be repurposed after many years. It's going to be becoming a downtown hotel, so we actually have to move in the next in the next few months. But I'm sure we'll still be in the same general area. And I'm sure one thing we're sure of is that our phone number is going to be staying the same.
Nice. Yeah. Sure. Could be kind of expensive if you're paying nightly rates or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. We have some other great guests here in the studio, but I do want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Atlanta Legal Experts Radio every Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock here on Buckhead Business Radio X. Also want to remind, for a PSA, is that no guest or listeners were injured during the during this show. All right. And also our sponsors, show being brought to you in part by Peachtree Offices, 3A Law Practice Management, Atlanta's John Marshall Law School, Equitable Payments, Golden Pair Funding, and U.S. Legal Support. And you can find all their contact information, logos, and links for our sponsors as well as our guests on the website, AtlantaLegalExperts.com. And who's up next?
I'm excited to introduce Aaron Stone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today. Aaron Stone is a family law attorney and partner at Bovis, Kyle, Birch & Medlin, located in Dunwoody, Georgia. She represents clients in cases involving divorce, child custody, child support, alimony, and division of a marital property. Aaron is a trusted advocate and advisor for her clients, whether in settlement negotiations, mediation, or in court hearings. And I just want to ask, how did you get started doing what you're doing?
Doing family law?
Yeah.
Well, it sort of happened gradually in my career. I don't think anybody starts their career wanting to do divorces.
Sure.
But I started my career clerking for a judge, and I in doing that, I got to view a lot of trials, a lot of domestic cases, and watched how those worked in through the court system. And then I joined a private firm, and I did a mixed practice. I did a lot of business law, contract litigation, construction litigation. But in the course of that, some of those clients, they didn't want to leave our firm and they wanted to get divorced. And I ended up taking their cases. And as I did those cases, I realized that that was something I really had more of a passion for, of, mm-hmm. you know, representing those people and helping them through the process. And so I decided to grow my practice in that direction. And after a few years, it became, you know, the focus of my practice.
Wonderful. Just natural.
Yeah.
Good. Please give a description of your company and the products and services that you offer.
All right. Well, Bovis, Kyle, Birch & Medlin is, we're a 40-lawyer firm in Dunwoody, and we have sort of a mixed practice. We have a family law team, which is my team, and we have six lawyers that practice family law, so we can offer clients some resources if they need a bigger team, more than, you know, just one lawyer working on their team, and we often team up to do that for clients. We also do a number of other areas of law. We have a group that does insurance defense. We have a group that does workers' compensation. We have a group that does something called surety law, which is representing bondholders. We have a group that does corporate work and business work litigation for clients. And so we do a wide variety of practice. And that's something that helps me in my practice, too, because sometimes my clients, when we're done with their divorce, they need some work to set up a new business or to separate a business, or they have some other litigation going on. And so we can help them within the firm, and that's helpful to them.
That's wonderful. So it's like a all-in-one shop.
We try. We try.
What are different aspects of your work that you do? I think you have three different examples or aspects.
Well, I think you said a little earlier, I represent clients in divorce cases, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of aspects of those cases. And so there's a custody issue usually if people have children. Mm-hmm. There's a support issue which has to do with child support and sometimes alimony. And then there's the division of their marital property. So in those instances, you know, we try and take care of all of those areas and work out a settlement that works well for their family and for them so that they can move forward in their future.
So those three different things kind of encompasses everything that entails a divorce. So have you ever had a contested divorce that you've had to deal with?
Oh, well, divorces in general are contested. A lot of people come in and tell me their divorce is going to be uncontested. And then when I start asking them what they've agreed to, often we find that they haven't really agreed to everything, or they know what they want, but they haven't really talked to their spouse about what they agree to. So most divorces come in, they are uncontested. Now, that's not to say that we can't reach a settlement down the road.
Sure.
But most of the time, there's issues that people are not in agreement with, and you know, that's why they're getting divorced. They're not communicating well.
You sounded like it. I mean, it sounded so easy the way you put it. So I just wanted to, you know, mix it up a little bit.
I try to make it sound less scary sure. because when people come to me, I mean, it's a big first step for somebody to walk Absolutely. Into a divorce lawyer's office. And I think it's important for people to know,
to
you know,
that
they can feel comfortable. They can trust me to listen to them. They can trust my advice. They should feel comfortable asking questions, that sort of thing.
So growing up, what inspired you to run your own business?
Well, I my dad died when I was a little kid. Uh-huh. And my mom, as a young widow, had to support our family on her own. She ran her own business for most of my childhood. And so it was never a question in my mind that I was going to have to stand on my own two feet and run my own business. And so that was, you know, something that was a goal of mine all along.
Before Rich Casanova here again, before we went on the air, you were chatting with Ryan McPherson, our engineer here in the studio, and y'all went to the same high school.
We did.
Right? And on that note, you were talking before as well. You're mentoring some students there. I mean, talk to us about that.
I did. I grew up here in Atlanta, and I went to Riverwood High School. And this past year, I got to do this really fun project. I mentored and coached a mock trial team at Riverwood High School.
Oh, wow.
And, they won several awards at the competition. I was so proud of them. And but it was a lot of fun to work with the high school kids and see their excitement about learning about the law and learning how trials work. It was really... It was a great experience.
So from a you know, business radio, from this standpoint, what sets you apart or makes you unique? What's your, what we call a unique selling proposition? Because obviously a lot of people do what you do.
Right. I think the thing that I offer clients that that they really look for from me is communication. My clients, I make sure that my clients can get in touch with me. I try and return phone calls same day. They all have my email. Most of them have my cell phone numbers. I recognize that in family law cases, sometimes you need to get in touch with your lawyer even after business hours, even during the weekend, because that's when, you know, questions come up about your kids and your family. And so, you know, I just try to be very accessible to my clients, and I think that's the thing that sets me apart from other lawyers.
Is that hard to balance your family life? And then, obviously, you have the compassion for your family, you have compassion for your work and the families that you help. Is that hard to balance those things?
It is. It's something I had to learn to do over time. I mean, I also have my own family. I have kids at home. And so I had to learn how to balance, you know, home life and work life and make that work. And it's something that it's a challenge all the time, but it's something that, you know, you have to learn to do when you practice law, when you run your own business.
So I see that you were named one of the top 50 women attorneys in Georgia.
Yes, I'm very proud of that. Yeah.
Yay.
Wow.
I'm in good company.
Yeah, and you were also the member of the super lawyer. I always thought that we've had some other super lawyers in here. I think that's so cool. I want to be one day when I grow
Tom,
up.
Right,
yeah.
Before
Tom,
as a super lawyer too.
Yeah. I want to be a super radio guy. Yeah. Does it get a cape with that? Or
I
a
wish
special?
We did.
Do you have any special, what do they call, what's your special, help me with the term?
Oh, a special power?
There you go, special power. Powers, a superhero, yeah.
Or your kryptonite.
Right. I don't want anybody to know what my kryptonite is.
Okay.
I'll put that on the radio. But, exactly. But we do, no, they don't give us a cape. We do get written up in Atlanta Magazine, which is really nice. And it's very exciting. And I don't know. My special power. Let's see. Maybe my.
I mean, you hit on the thing about communication. I mean, I think that's in business. You know, a lot of times we just overlook that, or we don't realize the importance of it. And
it's a customer service would be.
It is, especially in your business, executive suites. It's like people, they're ready to kind of make a decision. They need to be in touch with you. But from a family law, when you're talking about really personal issues, I think a lot of times it's that unknowing, right?
Yes.
Uncertainty.
Yeah, the uncertainty is scarier than actually knowing. I always tell clients, I say, please ask me. If you have a question, if you're worried about something, tell me, ask me. Because the thing that you're imagining is going to happen, that you're wondering about, is probably much worse than the reality of what's going to happen to you. And so talk to me about it. Right. You know, I always want my clients to be in touch with me and talk to me about what's going on with them so that I can help them through the process.
Absolutely. Right now, I'm wondering and worrying about how would people get in touch with you?
Well, you don't have to worry about that at all. I'm very easy to find. People can access my website, which is at boviskyle.com, B-O-V-I-S-K-Y-L-E.com, or they can call me at 770-391-9100.
All right. This might be the most entertaining Atlanta Legal Expert show this morning so far, right?
I think so.
Well, that's only one. Okay. So who's your anchor man, our final guest here in the studio? Yeah.
We have Matthew Pozaiak. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. He is a lawyer working in the Atlanta office of specialty insurance company Hiscox.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I said that right, too.
That's right.
He went to law school at the University of Georgia and after graduation worked as a staff attorney for the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. He then worked in private practice at a business litigation firm until he joined Hiscox in 2013. He lives in Chamblee with his wife, Katie, and their two kids.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, now I don't have to ask you how you got to where you are because I just said it.
Yeah, that's my life story in a nutshell.
So tell me a little bit more about Hiscox.
So Hiscox is a specialty insurance company that specializes in tailored solutions, and that's kind of marketing lingo and maybe breaking it down into layman's terms. Hiscox sells liability insurance as well as property and other forms of insurance, specializing in businesses. Here in America, we look at small businesses, especially businesses with just one or two employees, and finding ways, you know, we're not a jack-of-all-trades insurance company. We're much smaller and nimbler than, I guess, some of our competitors, and that lets us to find areas that we're passionate about, areas that we think we can really know the industry and provide a compelling service to the people in that industry.
It sounds like a big company, but is it privately owned?
Yeah, it's actually a part of the Hiscox Group, which is based out of London. Originally, they wrote on the Lloyd's of London exchange there and were headquartered in Bermuda and traded on the London Stock Exchange. So, but Hiscox USA is an American subsidiary, and we have a full team here in America. Our offices are in, we have an office right here in Atlanta, and as well as offices in Chicago and in San Francisco, New York, and a few other places besides.
Now tell me about your role as claims counsel.
Sure. So I'm in the claims department at Hiscox, which is essentially the most customer-facing aspect of the business where, you know, people have bought this insurance product. And a lot of times when they come to us, it's the first time they've ever actually had to use insurance. You know, they tell us, I've never had to do this before. And so in the claims department, it's our job to kind of walk them through the process. What does it mean to have a claim? And, you know, and then to help them analyze and see if their policy provides coverage for what's happened to them. And hopefully it does. And if it does, then we start working them through the process of helping to resolve their problem.
So can you name a couple of the problems that you handle?
Sure. So in my role, I get to have the opportunity to work with a large variety of different types of claims. I work in what we call our direct business, which is where people have gone online to our website or called our 800 number and bought insurance directly from us. And we offer that across not all 50 states. I think we're at 45 states now, and just a large variety of businesses. So everything from professional liability policies for tax preparers and IT consultants to commercial general liability policies for hair salons to property policies for photographers and all kinds of other folks. So it's everything from some of the new exciting things we're getting are photographers flying around drones, and then they crash their drones and break their camera. So they've got a property policy, and we're analyzing those losses and getting reimbursement to someone for their property. To, you know, mention tax preparers earlier. If you're a tax professional and you made a mistake on a client's tax return, all of a sudden that client is hit with a large penalty by the IRS, you know, and that's why you've bought insurance.
So tell me, how does it compare? How does working at Hiscox compare to working in a law firm?
Yeah, it's a much different experience. You know, and on the one hand, it's, I'd say, less stressful in that, you know, I don't have to worry about where the next client's going to come from. But on the other hand, instead of handling 7 or 10 cases at a time, you know, I've got a book of about 120 open cases at any one point where, you know, we're trying to help people. And a lot of those are just kind of on the back burner. We're just checking in on things that were reported to us. But it's a lot of it's a much higher level view of cases that we have to take than I was able to take in private practice.
Gotcha. And you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's a great job. I mean, they're a really great company in terms of how they treat their employees, and it's really a great opportunity to help people that are really going through a difficult period. And you know, we're able to be there for them and help them get their life back together in a lot of cases.
So how does your legal background help you in your position here at Hiscox?
Sure. So as a lawyer, and with my legal training, I use it every single day. For our liability cases, you know, someone's been sued, and then if it's a covered claim, we appoint defense counsel, and defense counsel, you know, goes to town and starts working. And, you know, a lot of times lawyers, they want to do everything. They want to be a fierce and zealous advocate. And, you know, they will spout a lot of jargon and lingo, and then they'll be surprised when I know what they're talking about, you know, and say, you know, why exactly do you want to do all that work? What's the utility there? So it lets us kind of talk to the lawyers, understand the lawyers, and then translate for our clients.
So here at Business Radio X, we often talk to folks about their company culture and values. I mean, and I'll ask the same question I did of Aaron. What sets you guys apart or unique?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you asked that. We have a really firm set of values at Hiscox that aren't just something that goes in a marketing portfolio or a mission statement and then is never thought of again. Courage is, for example, one of our values, and that's where, and actually we've rolled out this brand campaign called Encourage Courage, where we're working on a national courage index and doing little mini documentaries about people that show courage and integrity, doing the right thing however hard, quality and excellence in execution. But the biggest part is the last value I haven't mentioned yet, which is human, which essentially means, you know, people have this view of this faceless, monolithic insurance company. And in a lot of cases, I can see why they might have formed that image. But, you know, at Hiscox, we're all about having a human face. You know, we're going to call you on the phone when you submit a claim. We're going to call you and talk to you about it if there's questions. We're not just going to deal with you via a letter that shows up out of the blue. We're going to let you know what's going on and give you any news over the phone if possible.
I like that because I hate getting those letters.
Right. yeah, it is kind of, I appreciate that culture and that unique perspective, because a lot of times we talk about B2B, we just kind of keep throwing, but at the end of the day, it's really H to H, I heard someone say, right?
Mm-hmm. Human to human?
Yeah, because there's always somebody at that business that has to interact with another person. You know, it's not just Xerox talking to Microsoft. Those companies can't talk. There has to be a person interact. But a lot of times we just try to put that buffer in there. So talk to about some like big surprises, companies, you know, kind of catch them off guard when they're in litigation. They don't kind of expect, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. So as I mentioned, a lot of times this is the very first time that someone's been sued. And we talk about the legal system to them, and it's a foreign entity to a lot of people. They don't really understand our legal system and litigation system, and they don't understand how expensive and time-consuming it is. People get a claim against them, and they want to fight. You know, they want they're right. It's the principle of the
matter.
Bring
it on.
They're not going to settle because they didn't do anything wrong. And I say, hey, I hear that. I understand what you're talking about. But, you know, in the American legal system, it's a system where plaintiffs have a very low bar for being able to file a complaint, for better or for worse, and they can keep that suit alive for a long time. So do you want your life to be tangled up in this litigation for the next 2 years? Do you want to, you know, be spending the next so much of your life attending depositions and talking with your lawyer? And so that's kind of a surprise to them when they talk about that. And then once we kind of are able to educate our clients about that, then we can start talking about, I understand your principle. I understand you didn't do anything wrong, but let's find a way to put this behind you and find a resolution where you can move on with your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in a minute, we may open it up. We got a few more minutes if there's any questions amongst our guest here. But beforehand, let our listeners, the best way to get in touch with you.
Absolutely. Anyone wishing to find more information about Hiscox, I definitely recommend going to our website, which is at www.hiscox.com. You can also, you know, certainly Google us or check out our Facebook page, LinkedIn page, or even on Twitter. But the webpage will have all the web resources for how to contact Hiscox.
Thank you for being here today.
All right.
We enjoyed that. So, yeah, we can open up for roundtable discussion, being that we have a few more minutes.
Yeah, if there's any other questions and or maybe if there's a book you all recommend or an event coming up or an announcement. As Bueller would say, anyone?
I have a question.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Tiffany, my question's for you. So how do you get new clients?
Most of the time, I get clients from lawyer referrals. Okay. Often they're sent by my public defender friends because they don't qualify for public defender services, so they send them to me.
Wonderful.
And then also a lot of community organizations send me civil cases.
So you've been pretty successful in your venture as a with your own practice.
I like to think so.
Yeah. As long as you're busy, that's
right.
What
and I stay busy, yeah. So that's great.
Yeah.
I guess just a question for anyone. If you were mentoring, speaking of mentoring, but if you were mentoring or rewind a number of years when you first started, something you would do differently or some tips or advice for the next generation within your profession?
Oh, well, I'll take that one.
Okay.
We have summer clerks in our office every summer, so I get a chance to mentor young law students. And it's a lot of fun to do that. And the one thing I always try and remind them is, you know, it's really important to, you know, do the work we give you and learn about, you know, the how to work in a law firm. But the opportunity that you really want to take when you're a young lawyer is to meet as many experienced lawyers as you can and follow them and shadow them in their work, because that's really how you learn how to practice law, is to take that opportunity to get to know people who, you know, have practiced a long time, who have a lot of experience and can share that experience with you. That's the thing that I try to remind young lawyers all the time, is that that's the best way to learn.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Everybody's looking at me.
That's
like
absolutely. You know, and I just add into that, be willing to say yes to opportunities when they
okay.
knock.
Exactly.
I know for my current role, I got a call from a recruiter and they said, you know, hey, there's this position. And I said, an insurance company, there's no way they want to hire me,
right.
You know, but go ahead, submit it, you know, and yeah. a few weeks later I had this great job. So you never know when that next opportunity is going to come, but be willing to say yes when it does.
I think also that young lawyers should take advantage of opportunities, for example, speaking engagements. You know, I remember when I was a young lawyer and I thought, oh, you know, I'd have to write another paper, or it's really a pain in the neck, or nobody's really paying attention. But I think it's really one of the things that helps establish you as an expert in your field. When people see that somebody's giving a speech at, you know, one of the various conferences that lawyers are involved with, it lets people know that they're an up-and-coming lawyer.
Yeah.
And I think that that type of opportunity shouldn't be passed up, even though it might be a little extra work.
Now, would you say to start doing these things when you're, obviously you have the intern, so, you know, when you're in your third year of law practice, of law school, or before?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great advice, Tom. I mean, I think as soon as you have that opportunity, anytime you do, I mean, it's a great way to start and build your practice and, you know, build your reputation, which mm-hmm. as lawyers, I mean, that's really one of the most valuable things we have is our reputation. And so the more people know about you and the more you're recognized as an expert in your field, the better off you are.
Because I also think nowadays, compared to, say, when I came out of law school, it's very hard to be a general, to be a generalist. You know, if I was having lunch with, say, Tiffany or with Erin, at the end of our meeting, I would want to say, what kind of cases would you like me to refer to you? And if you do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, it's very hard for me to know the kinds of work that you're interested in doing and to know how to get business to you. So I think if you can find an area of law that, you know, is of particular interest and really run with it, then you can have the kind of practice that you want.
I think nowadays it's more, people are doing that more. The lawyers are finding their specific cases because, you know, more general, like you said, but like after the boom and, you know, the downturn, a lot of attorneys just started practicing whatever they could get. But now I think as we're kind of hopefully coming back up, people are really starting to find that they're specializing in their field. And then they're better at what they do because they're focusing. And like I always think that, you know, multitasking could be detrimental because you're not doing one thing 100%. You're doing everything 10% or 20%.
Right. I think we offer a lot more to our clients if we specialize and have some expertise in one field than trying to do a number of different things. I think that's probably the best way to help your clients.
Mm-hmm. And I think also on the show, we've had people in the past say that they met people that they clicked with, their attorneys that they related to, and that helped them because, you know, they could see themselves as being that. So to really find somebody that you really admire and somebody that you really look for. Hey, I could pass the bar, I think.
All right. I know. After a year of the show, whatever, yeah. A lot of people think you are an attorney. Yeah. You just play one on the radio.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. All right, so another great show of Atlanta Legal Experts. Want to thank our sponsors, and in part for making this possible, once again, Peachtree Offices, 3A Law Practice Management, Atlanta's John Marshall Law School, Equitable Payments, Golden Pair Funding, and U.S. Legal Support. And again,
thanks, Rich.
Absolutely. Yeah, why not? And richcasanova.com. But, seriously, thank all of our guests for being here. Of course, Emily for hosting the show. And you can find all of our guest content and information on AtlantaLegalExperts.com.
Thanks. See you next week.
All right.